Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, January 6, 2025. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11, the last paragraph, beginning with, I saw that my friend was much more, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, his roots grasped new soil. Today's readers are Julie R., the 12 Steps, Kathy R., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Cheryl L. in the text, Judy N. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Deb A., and our second hour moderator is Matt J. F. The share IDs for Monday, January 5th, 2025, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,085. That's 23,085. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,086. That's 23,086. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Rick. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater from Auburn, California. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Pass. Thank you, Julie. I will now ask Kathy R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, good morning. This is Kathy R., compulsive reader. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Yes.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11, the last paragraph, beginning with, I saw that my friend was much more, and we will be reading that one paragraph, ending with, his roots. Ask Cheryl L. to begin reading. Cheryl, hit star 1.
Good morning, Rick. This is Cheryl L. from Florida. Grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. He was on a different footing. His roots grasped a new soil. Very, very short, very profound paragraph for me to be reading this morning. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous and I came into the vision meetings, I should look up any words that I wanted to know more about or that I didn't understand completely. So this morning I happened across the word footing. And I think that Bill was very, very careful in how he selected words to use when he wrote. And so when I looked up the word footing, you know, we know that, you know, we need to get a footing in order to have a secure grip with our feet. But he was talking about Bill. I mean, he was talking about Ebby. And Ebby was obviously different. You know, we read in the few paragraphs before this that there was something about him in his face and his eyes, that he was a different person. And Ebby had already said that he had been raised from the dead, that God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. And then he was living a level of life better than he had ever known before. So, you know, what I'm getting from this reading today is that to get my footing, I needed to become comfortable and I needed to become confident and stable in this new situation that I was finding myself in. You know, that here I am, I'm abstinent now, and I need to figure out how I'm going to continue to live an abstinent way of life. It's not just putting down the food for me. It is a matter of really changing everything about my life and changing who it is that is directing my life on a daily basis. So I have come from that place of being lost, and that's what I hear from newcomers these days is that they're lost. They just don't know where to start. And obviously we have to start with the food and putting that down. But then it's like, okay, and then what? And then what? Because there's so many other aspects of my life, of their lives that they have to live. And so, you know, my message to anyone who's new out there is that, you know, working these steps, and that's what I had to do, working these steps was the way in which I was able to become confident in this way of life. And now I do my disciplines on a daily basis without really thinking too much about it. It's just part of who I am and what my makeup is. It is not something that I need to give too much thought to, but I am thoughtful. I am mindful of God's presence and God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I am on a different footing today. I feel reorganized inside, and my roots have grasped a new soil. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks for getting us started, Cheryl. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Nina.
Sarah T.
Rivka R. Baltimore.
Okay. I missed everybody but Rivka. I am so sorry.
Sarah T.
Cindy, Boston.
Sarah T. And who is this from Boston?
Cindy. Cindy B.
Cindy? What was your... Did you say Cindy? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cindy B.
Cindy B. As in brilliant. Okay.
As in brilliant. Yes, thank you.
Alicia
S. from New Jersey.
Okay, so I got somebody from New Jersey and a gentleman. Who is the lady from New Jersey?
Alicia S.
Okay, and how about the gentleman from New Jersey? I mean, sorry, the gentleman.
Ian F. from Indiana.
Ian S. Okay, and it's us, Felicia. And Bonnie B., man, I am just not doing very well this morning with names. Sorry, guys. All right, here's who I have. Rivka R., Sarah T., Cindy B., Felicia S., Ian S., Bonnie B., and let's see. Who else did I miss? If you gave me your name, I didn't call it.
Liz S. from Oregon.
Okay, gotcha, Liz.
Nicole S.
And Nicole S. Let's stop there, guys. Got a good lineup here. Here's who I have. Rivka R., Sarah T., Cindy B., Felicia S., Ian F., Bonnie B., Liz S., and Nicole S. Rivka R., you are up first, followed by Sarah T. Go ahead, Rivka.
There you go. Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Rick, for your service. You did great with the names. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. So today is my 71st birthday, and I just want to take a moment and really express my tremendous gratitude and appreciation to Bill W. and this big book and everyone who makes this meeting possible and everyone on the line, because I would not have the life I have today without all of you. And last week I also celebrated 5 years since coming to Vision. And because of Vision, I'm on a different footing today, and my roots have grasped a new soil. Bill said, I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized. And I was thinking, reorganized just means, take the same old stuff and you just, move it around. And I was thinking that, for the first 33 years that I was in and out of OA before coming to Vision, that was my experience. There were certain things that were better organized, during periods of abstinence. My food was reorganized, but my roots really didn't grasp a new soil yet. And I think that, a lot of that had to do with fear of letting go and misunderstanding what that meant. During those 33 years, I could not say, "Thy will, not mine, be done," because I was terrified that meant I was going to have to suffer and do things way beyond my ability. But being on this line the last 5 years has taught me that, you know, all it means is I can trust. Like, you know, the line that a fellow said that changed everything for me, you know, I might not like God's plan, but I can trust God's plan. You know, I can trust that whatever is happening, God is there. God is good. God's not going anywhere. You know, and the same thing with this paragraph. Like, I had a misconception that, you know, being on a different footing and having my roots grasp a new soil somehow meant that I was supposed to be a totally different person. Like, I don't know, be an extrovert and have blue eyes or something. And since that was an impossibility, like, that meant I was a failure. But it doesn't mean that. You know, it means that my orientation to life changes. It means that my roots are not stuck in self-centeredness and shame and blame. You know, it doesn't mean I'm always going to feel great. You know, it just means that my life is no longer run by feelings and food. You know, it does mean, you know, that I get my guidance and nurturance and power from the only true source of guidance, nurturance, and power, you know, and that just looks like asking God what his will is for me, and that puts me on a different footing. You know, trust, honesty, gratitude, humility, surrender, that puts me on a different footing. You know, and that's only possible when my roots grasp a new soil. And in this disease, there is a price to be paid, and it's the destruction of self. Like, in this disease, my true self is obliterated. But in recovery...
That's time, Rebecca.
Okay, I'll just finish with it. And there's also a price to be paid, and that's the destruction of self-centeredness, which happens when I reorient to God-centeredness, and that's what I'm so grateful for today. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you, Rivka from Maryland. Sarah T., you are up next, followed by Cindy B. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Sarah T., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Louisville, Kentucky. Really grateful to be here today, and I appreciate all the previous shares as well. You know, I agree with what was already shared about how this very short paragraph is just, there's so many layers that I, you know, can read and kind of imagine the story, but then also see reflected in my own life. Like, I can imagine Bill watching Ebby and just knowing that he's different. I've had that experience where I've seen something, you know, intangible in someone else, and that's the thing that I want, right? That's the thing that when I see it, I go, there's a craving in my soul, which I think is why I ate, that it's like that thing that's indefinable that I can see in you, that's what I want. And I was also really thinking what was already touched on so eloquently about roots grasping new soil. For me, that's both figurative and literal in my story. Everything about me had to change. And the 12 steps did that for me. But I also had to physically be moved. And, of course, I didn't understand that at the time. My story contains a lot of geographic cures that did not cure me at all and just created way more chaos in my life. And when I finally grasped the literal soil where my higher power wanted me, I started to take root and bloom. But it was also a spiritual grasping of new soil where I just needed, I don't know, I guess I don't want to repeat myself. I'm just struck this morning about how, the transformation that this program allows, where my way of thinking is on new soil, my actions are on new soil, and then I'm physically located on new soil, my job is on new soil, my food is on new soil. And I just find that so miraculous. Because I couldn't have done that myself. If I'm on my own, I'm still beating my head against the same wall until my forehead's bloody and beyond, and I'm eating myself to death. Like, that's just me on my own. That's what I do. And then when I kind of look back on my years in recovery, I just really brought to my knees with what my higher power has done in my life, and not only with the food, but just the reordering of my entire being. And that gives me so much gratitude this morning at 7:19 a.m. I just, wow, what a way to start the day is just with that profound gratitude that my higher power has done for me what I can't do for myself. And so I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm Sarah T.
Thank you, Sarah T. from Kentucky. And happy birthday, Rifkar. I jotted a note to remind me to say that, and I forgot to read my note. But happy, happy birthday. Cindy B., you are up next, followed by Felicia S. Go ahead, Cindy. Yeah.
Thank you, and happy birthday. It's great to hear everybody this morning. I appreciated the lead. Thanks for your service. I'm Cindy from Boston, and I am a real compulsive overeater, bulimic, and recovered today thanks to the Big Book, thanks to God, and thanks to this program. I've been in OA for a long time. Came in when I was about 25, which was back in the early days, and I'm here in Boston. So the East Coast was a little different. It's kind of the same as Bill with his East Coast group. You know, we were just like, don't eat, go to meetings. You know, we didn't really go into the spirituality so much. We'd give, you know, sort of a few words about it, but no one really talked the way that, you know, I'm hearing people talk, you know, today. And I went to a meeting that was, it was a relapse meeting. I used to go to it all the time on Sundays. It was 10 a.m. It was a time I could go. And I wasn't in relapse. I would speak at that meeting. But there was one man there that, you know, I saw go through a lot. And I hadn't been to that meeting in a while. I went to it, and there was this man that was there. And he shared, and you know what? I had, in that moment, a spiritual experience. I felt some kind of spirit in me, and I thought, I have never felt the spirit at an OA meeting in my life. And I asked him what he was doing afterwards. I said, you know what? You know, you seem really good. And he's like, well, I took the steps according to the Big Book. And so I just wanted to share that because That is what Ebby was carrying, you know, to Bill that day, and that I saw it in this man, and I had a spiritual awakening in that moment with him, and I knew that the Big Book was where I needed to find my answers as well. So just wanted to share that. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Cindy B. from Boston. Okay, Felicia S., you are up next, followed by UNF. Go ahead, Felicia.
Good morning. I am Felicia S., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you all for your service. Thank you, Rick, for leading. Couple of powerful sentences, right? And it reminds me that I can change. The change isn't impossible. I am not stuck. And I changed because I saw all of you change. And I am so incredibly grateful. When I was sitting in the food, I couldn't see a way out. And after all of the years and decades of relapsing, I had given up hope. And what these sentences this morning give me is hope. You know, and 7 months later, life is beyond what I could have imagined it. And that doesn't mean everything is great. Everything is far from great. But there is a way out, you know. And my Ebby came in the form of all of you and hearing a Sunday special edition speaker, you know, who I'm so blessed became my sponsor. And you know, one day at a time, Ebby gave a message, and we get to get our Ebbies and our messages. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Felicia S. from New Jersey. ENF, you are up next, followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, my name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater out of Indiana. I'm really grateful to be here with you guys. I've had a go of it this past month. quite a few days in a row of waking up really terrified, and every time I go into work or every time I show at a meeting or every time I go into a social event thinking, you don't belong there, you're going to fail, nothing you can do is going to help, you may as well just not. And that really confused me because, and I'm checking all the boxes, right? Like I'm going to meetings, I'm calling people, I'm working with others, I'm calling people with more time than me, asking them, you know, all the things I thought, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And there was not a single call that did it, but several that kind of piecemealed it together. From my experience, which was like, I realized that I've got into my head, oh, well, I have this amount of abstinence, therefore I have the answers, you know, and I need to be telling people how to do this stuff, you know, because that's what it means to get out of your head. And I was wrong about that. It's part of it. It's part of, you know, sharing, yes, but I had a conversation yesterday that really brought me home of like, do you go on a meeting and do you listen to people without planning your share? Do you call people and ask them how they are with no motive about, well, let me tell you what you're doing wrong in your recovery and how to fix it? And I bring all of this up in relation to this paragraph because I had a moment last night where I pulled my head out of my butt and I listened to somebody. And this experience of, I don't even remember what it felt like to be in that absolute despair, which I was in 10 minutes ago, crept up on me. You know, and there's, like, that to me is what they are talking about. That there's something about getting close to a higher power that brings you to that place, and it's nothing that I do. Like, it's not, like my self-reflection is not it that brings me to that place. And I wish that I could, you know, really get at that with words. Like, you know, like, here's the step-by-step instruction. And frankly, I mean, it is in the book, right? But I need to be reminded all the time. Doesn't matter how much time I have, because I forget. The built-in forgetter isn't just about food. It's about the program, too. I hope that's useful to anybody. That's all I've got. I love you guys so much. I look forward to the other shares.
Thank you, Yanef from Indiana. I think that's right. I wrote down ID. Bonnie B., you are up next, followed by Liz S. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for your service. Thanks for the shares. They've been fantastic. As usual, I'm gratefully recovered living in the beautiful state of Florida today. So I thought it was so interesting because immediately when I read or when I listened to this morning, my thought was my goal when I came in was an outward change. And then my goal shifted to an inward change. And what I hear here is he's saying, I saw that my friend was much more than inwardly changed. And then my thought went right to the word footing. My dad laid cement for his entire career. And I remember him talking about footings and how important the footings were. And I thought, well, isn't that an interesting sentence? He was on a different footing. And so I looked up, like, the whole footing thing, and this is what it says. Footings are laid before the main concrete foundation or slab because they provide a stable, wide base to distribute the structure's immense weight. And then it says it also ensures that when the climates change, freezing time, it just reinforces everything that happens. It made me think of, like, my life, right? If I don't have the right footing, when my life ebbs and flows, and it does, because there isn't a Hallmark movie or Once Upon a Time, Happily Ever After, that's not really part of my reality. If my footings are where they need to be and that structure is you know, secure, my program is fine. You know, it also says that in order for this to happen, there's things that have to happen first. The first thing is that there has to be an excavation. Trenches are dug to the required depth and width, and then the preparation. Things are taken out before they can put things in. This is such a beautiful word picture of my program. This is exactly what had to happen. I came in with an idea. It sort of shifted. It went from outside to inside. I was thrilled with the inside, and then it became, well, it's not just the inside. It's what I'm anchored to. Well, all roads in this book for me draw me back to my God, which happens to be the God that you find in the Bible. Perplexing because I had a relationship with that God, but it wasn't deep. It was surface. It was flimsy. As far as like, do I trust you? Do I really trust you? Someone shared with me a while back, and it went from her lips to my heart, and I'm so grateful for these types of encounters. She said, can you accept things as if you had chosen it that way? That's when life gets good. And this is how I view my program. And so grateful for each of you, and thanks again for allowing me to share. Have a blessed day, guys. Bonnie B. from Florida. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Liz S., you are up next, followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz from Oregon. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Great. Liz S., recovered compulsive eater. And so I love Kindle because you can highlight the word and it'll give you the definition. And the second definition of the word footing is it says the basis on which something is established or operates. It's a different footing to be run by self-will than it is to be run by God, to have higher power influence my thoughts, deeds, and actions. That is a completely different orientation. And I think about the various ways people have been talking about footings up until now. And one thing that came to me is when I'm on a different footing, I'm actually in a different place. I have a different perspective. And things seem completely different to me than they were before. I attribute that to the influence of my higher power, and I attribute that to the love that I feel in this room and the love that I feel from God. And with that love, I have a different basis for making decisions or responding to actions, to understanding reality. And I am so grateful for that different footing. And with that, I pass. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. Nicole S., you are up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Nicole.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado, and I love the roots grasping new soil. And I know with me, my roots were in barren, dry ground, and I was trying to do everything on my self-will, and I was trying to constantly fix myself, and the problem was the soil, and my soil was had no nutrients, nothing in it that could make me grow. And I had to completely, throw out all my old conceptions and completely uproot myself and plant myself in God's soil. And in God's soil, I get the nutrients and I get, everything that I need that I can grow. And here in Colorado, we're in a really dry climate, and it's interesting. We'll have one field that has they've amended the soil and they've watered it and everything, and you know, they're growing hay or something else, and then the field next to it is just this dry, barren, cracked ground with nothing, you know, and it's the soil. So this is such a good reminder that I've got to quit trying to fix myself, because I can't. I'm digging in an empty well that has no water, nothing in it. But when I, you know, put myself in God's soil, that's the only well that can satisfy and can truly help me with this illness one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Bill's story on page 11, the last paragraph, beginning with, I saw that my friend was much more, and reading that one paragraph ending with, his roots grasp new soil. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Hello, you're
Anita
good morning.
L.
NWA.
Larry K.
Okay.
Denny S. from New York.
Kim WH, Larry K. Was there a Paul? Paul P., was that you? Okay. So other than Ken and Larry, if you gave me your name, go ahead and give it to me again.
Vinny S. from New York City.
Gotcha, Vinny.
Thank you.
Anita L.
Anita L.
Morrissey.
Maura Z. Gotcha, Maura. Kim WH, Larry K, Vinny S, Anita L, Maura Z. Maybe one more.
Natalie F.
All right, Natalie.
Thank you.
Okay, we're gonna go with this lineup. Ken WH, Larry K, Vinny S, Anita L, Maura Z, Natalie S. Ken WH, you are up first, followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, good morning. This is Ken WH, recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. Not too many paragraphs back when Evie talked about getting religion, Bill mentioned a religious figure, if you will, who he considered to be a great teacher. And that great teacher told little stories with a lot of meaning. And this paragraph reminds me of two of them. And the reorganization that took place in him, in Ebby, is the reorganization that's taken place in me as well, where I've put, I've been reorganized on the basis of an outside power. And that power and the telling of stories talked about solid ground and sinking sand. And that if I build on what is not solid and does not have a good footing, it's going to fall apart. And it's probably because I've chosen a place that I want to put it rather than on solid ground, the choice that my power greater than myself has for me. And he told another story about sowing seed and talked about dry ground and hard ground and rocky ground and good fertile soil. And that seed that was planted on good fertile soil, you know, just grew exponentially and beyond the sower's wildest dreams. And I've taken those two stories to heart, and that source of guidance and footing and release comes from a power greater than myself that I choose to call God, and it's all a gift. It's all been given to me in spite of myself, simply because the power greater than myself wants the very, very best for me. It wants me to be fruitful, wants me to be just enjoy life, and wants me to be stable. And for that, those lessons, I'm grateful, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina, neighbor. Larry K., you are up next, followed by Vinny S. Go ahead, Larry. What's up, brother?
Hey, Rick. How you doing? Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for the service, Rick. You know, true change begins with a shift in awareness, not more effort, not more information. It's got to be a shift in awareness. That's what we're seeking here. You know, just the other day, I was arguing my point of view with a colleague, you know, and I was pretty stuck in my ways, slightly irritated, unable to see her perspective. And I was kind of at a point of just wanting to, you know, end that conversation until I noticed a look in her eyes, on her face. She was sad. Her eyes were tearing up. And I care about that person, you know, it's a friend for long, many years, and her sadness transformed my view. See, I became aware in that moment, I was thinking of my stubbornness, my one-sidedness, things I couldn't see before, you know, and my perspective shifted. I wasn't trying to change my view. It just happened instantly. And in that moment, and in that context, I was transformed. You know, sometimes we have a fundamental shift in the way we view things. If you're a parent and you catch a glimpse of wow, how tall my teenager has grown, and in that instant you realize they won't be home forever, and maybe you drop the nagging, and you change your awareness and your perspective. That's what the steps are trying to produce. You know, if you're a young adult and a friend dies in a car crash, maybe you begin to ask bigger questions about your purpose and a sense of belonging and where you are in this world. See, this is what the self-reflection in the steps and these actions is trying to produce. Yes, a transformation where you're brought into alignment with higher power. Sure, that's what we say, and that's true for me. But it's really about a shift in our awareness. It's not about giving you more information. We don't study this book to give you more information and get you to do this or do that. No, it's we're seeking a shift. And until we have that shift in awareness, a profound revolutionary change, sorry, no recovery. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. Vinny S., you are up next, followed by Anita L. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hi, I'm Vinny S. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Larry, for taking the meeting. I came late to the meeting, and to be honest, I just have to say that, but I am hearing what everybody else is sharing about what we reap what we sow, that's for sure. Coming into this program of AA 14 years ago, and it took a lot to change me, and the step work has showed me that basically I can do better with my higher power, and over the course of years brought me to this program 4 months ago, and I am so truly grateful. Getting a sponsor and doing the work has taken me and to higher levels of getting so much closer to my higher power and reaching out to help the next person is what I'm told to do after going through the step work. And we have to reap what we sow by giving it away. It's freely given to me. And I am so truly grateful for that. My life is immensely getting better as I'm seeking my higher power and giving back and doing the work that I need to do. My life is changing so, so much right now, and I am so grateful for this program. I am grateful for the service in this room and making these meetings and my sponsors and you doing service today. I am truly grateful for so many things in life that I am overwhelmed with a lot of things, and I have a lot of gratitude. The program shows you that. Just keep coming, trying to help some newcomers recently, and unfortunately, they had slipped out for now. But it's something that we all have to face. When we want it, we want it. And I've been there many times in AA and now in OA, and I am grateful for this program because it's taught me so much. We do reap what we sow. My higher power is showing me the roots of life as long as I stay close to Him and read my Bible, because that's what works for me. And the program shows me how to be concerned about that in my lifestyle of reaching out on a daily basis. I can't do it for one day and not do it for long days. I have to do it every day, all day long. 10-stepping the program and learning more about myself to be revealed. And there is a lot to still unfold, but I am learning. So I am truly grateful. I want to wish everybody a happy and healthy new year. And thank you for letting me share and all the shares around the world.
Hey, Vinny, before you go, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
All right. And this is Rick, by the way. All right. Thank you, Vinny S. from New York. Anita L., you are up next, followed by Maura Z. Go ahead, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks, Rick. Anita L., from outside of Philadelphia area. Very grateful today. So grateful that I was able to hear this paragraph. It's really, I think, an important paragraph. It just says so much in such a short space. And, you know, I'm a very wordy person. Just ask my sponsors and friends. They can tell you that, and family members. And I don't have to say a lot. I can show my actions. I can show my transformation. So it's all due to me being, coming to OA was a gift. I was 23 when I first came, and I was so immature in many, many ways. I'm still immature. However, in some ways, not many ways, and that's due to listening to others, hearing the 12 steps, and finally recognizing that I never had a relationship with a power greater than myself. You know, in the beginning, I didn't even believe in the whole God thing. And then I came to believe, and now I do believe, and God is my best friend. And it's incredible how my life has changed, and I'm inwardly different, reorganized. You know, I'm also a gardener. I love gardening. And in the summertime, when the summer's getting ready to come and I plant tomato plants, etc., I have to do a lot of work. You know, I have to dig out the weeds, dig a hole, etc. And so it's not easy. However, once I do it, I keep watering it, the sun comes out, I see the efforts, I keep pulling out the weeds, the plants grow and the flowers bloom, and it's beautiful. And I feel like that is what my higher power has given to me, a beautiful love, a beautiful space inside of me that I can share with others. It's just incredible. So please keep coming back, because if it could work for me, it can work for anyone. However, I have to do it every single day and do all the actions, especially now living in recovery. So it's worth it. Life is great, and I have a lot of gratitude, and I pass. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Anita L. from Pennsylvania. Maura Z., you are up next, followed by Natalie S. Go ahead, Maura.
Hey, Rick. Thanks so much for your service. This is Maura Z. I'm gratefully recovered. So grateful. Living in Virginia. And short little but very powerful little paragraph we have here this morning. He was on different footing. I have been on different footing since coming back to the meetings, coming back to OA. I am more connected with my higher power than I had been before. And and that has made all the difference to my program. I don't take it for granted. This is a one-day-at-a-time routine. And as far as being reorganized, I had to be reorganized in order to accept a higher power in my life. In other words, I had to stop thinking that I could do it on my own. Those thoughts had to be rearranged so that I can do this with God, not on my own. And that's made all the difference. The different footing is being in a different place, thinking about things differently, working on my program in a different manner, doing the work, getting a sponsee, calling my sponsor, doing what I'm supposed to do one day at a time. His roots grasped a new soil. My roots have grasped a new soil. This is a new way of living for me. This is waking up on time in the morning to get ready to make my breakfast so that I'm not rushing, so that I can do that and take care of what I need to do and take care of my cat in the morning without rushing so that I get to work on time. This is new for me because otherwise it was, you know, wake up when I want to and then rush like a mad woman because I needed to get to work on time and often I was late. Grasping a new soil, a new way of doing things, this has been very important to me and this is what's turning my life around. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you, Maura Z from Virginia. All right, Natalie S., you are up next, and we'll see where you are with time. Go ahead, Natalie.
Thank you. This is Natalie S. from Indiana. And I want to make sure that before I get started on this story that I have a lot of hope today. I've been in the program 3 years, and I was reflecting on 3 years ago. And I found that I think my God has a sense of humor, and I definitely know he's big enough to handle my rebellion, but it's taken 3 years. 3 years ago, I was literally in the desert in Arizona trying to establish new roots. And that's because here in Indiana, where I was raised and raised my kids, I had always been trying to grasp success and grasp that feeling of worth and acknowledgement by just sprinkling a little, you know, topsoil on the ground, and that never worked. And as we've heard, you know, that's because there's no roots to it. So I get out to Arizona and I'm faced with about 2.5 years of constant challenges. I lost my job, didn't own a home, my car broke down. My kids weren't really talking to me. My family was upset with me. My father was dying. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, how in the heck did God get me through that? Well, he got me through that by slowly watering that dry, dry soil through this program. The irony is I was living in a place in Arizona called Green Valley. And honestly, I always thought it meant retiree, like Geezerville. And what I learned was that when it rains, everything turns green. And God showed me that I needed to be in the valley. And he told me it was going to take 3 years. And I remember sitting there being like, really, God? 3 years? I can't last that long. The last domino to fall was when I, about a year and a half ago, he took my health. And I could not walk. I was using my dad's walker. It was after he had passed away, and I'd lived in different places for about 3 to 4 months at a time, traveling back and forth from Arizona to Indiana, literally driving across the country. And what I can say is that I've learned that when I grasp at something that's just on the surface, I'm really just looking at myself. But what I need to do is
dig down and put my roots into that solid place. God helps me to do that. I cannot do that. I am so powerless. I just have to surrender and trust that he's going to be big enough to do what I need him to do so that I can get to where I want. And today I just have to live, I do not just, but I get to live in a place of gratitude because I'm able to see that I just can't even believe I'm telling you this, but I am standing straight. I've worked hard and I've done what I need to do, but physically he's removed some of the constant pain my legs have been in, especially my knees over the last 2 years. And I am standing on this new faith that he will do what he says he will do if I will yield to him. And the 12 steps keep me in a place, thank you, Rick, where I can hear that. So I hope that gives somebody hope today, but thanks for letting me share and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Natalie S. from Indiana. Beautiful way to close us out. And thank you, everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, January 6, 2025, is 23,092. That's 23,092. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Judy N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for your service. I'm Judy N. from Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.